afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, so, so good to be with you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay, so I guess all of you would agree with me that the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't let me teach here if I wouldn't agree with that. And you shouldn't. But that's our conviction, that when we open up the Word of God, it's what the Holy Spirit has given us, you know, so that we can learn from it. Now, would you agree with me that whatever the Holy Spirit did not say, in many cases, is also inspired by God? Yes? Yeah, for example, he didn't give us any information about Melchizedek, the old king. Yeah, right? And so that was inspired by God too. Yes or no?
Yes.
Right, so you're with me. All right, so we're going to read this portion, and you tell me what's missing in this portion. Let's read first. 2 Corinthians 8:16. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord. That we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he also has been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered to us or by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ, a glory to Christ. What is wrong with that passage? What's missing? What's missing? Huh?
No name for the brother.
No name. That's right. Two different brothers are mentioned, and their names are not mentioned. Now, excuse me, I'm struggling right now. I remember when I was young, a friend of mine was going to get married. And we were all talking about it because we're buddies, right? And then they started working on the invitation. And her parents wanted to put their name first. And his parents wanted to put his name first. And so a disagreement began. They thought that his should be first because he was the man. And they thought that they should be first, right? Because they were giving the girl. And so the argument increased and increased. And about a month and a half later, the whole wedding was called off. The parents on both sides were fighting and not talking anymore. And this couple broke apart and never married and never talked to each other again. I was at a conference. And after the conference, a brother got up to thank some of the people on the committee of the conference. And I accidentally left out somebody's name. Forgot to mention. After that, that brother was offended and pulled out of the committee and never came back again. So what am I getting at? Do you think these two brothers here read Paul's letter and then said, hey, Paul, you forgot to put my name in there. Consequently, I'm not going to help anymore. I'm out. All right? So you see where the Holy Spirit's leading us today? Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about these men. We're going to look at other men too.
Notice then that verse 18 says, "And we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the thing of the gospel has spread through all the churches."
So this brother was not unknown.
It says that his fame was spreading everywhere. So that means that people knew who he was. Right? Now, I want you to think for a minute. If that were you, and your name was omitted, even though everybody knows who you are, but they didn't put your name in there, what would you do? What would you do?
Right? And not only this, verse 19, "But he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift." And so, not only did the people know who he was, but he was respected, because they said, when it comes to dealing with money and handling this big offering, we can't just pick anybody, because the name of the Lord and his reputation is at stake. So we got to pick a godly man with a good reputation that everybody knows, and he's going to be part of this team that's going to take this money, right, and deliver it. All right, not only that, but let's continue. It says in verse 21, "For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." So when it comes to money and this big offering, we know that men are watching, right? Because they want to see that you're going to handle the money correctly. But also God is watching. Did you notice that? In the sight of God and in the sight of men. So when we do God's work, we're not only to say, well, I'm accountable to God alone, but no, but men also have to be able to observe us and say, hey, the man can be trusted. That's a man of God. Right? Okay, so then notice then, "We have sent with him," verse 22, "with them our brother." So with the two, they sent another brother, "whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you." So the second brother also didn't get mentioned. Okay? And the Bible says clearly there that different men had seen him, they saw him serve, they found him to be diligent in everything he did. Right? So here's my question. Why did the Holy Spirit leave their name out? What do y'all think? Why did the Holy Spirit leave their name out?
That's his work. Holy Spirit's work, not the person's work.
Yeah, we really don't know why, right? It is his work. And what matters is that these men were living for God. I want you to remember that. What matters is that I serve the Lord, right? If I get my name put up on a plaque, or, you know, when I die, Ray used to come visit here, you know. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter, because I'm going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord who knows my heart and knows my life and knows what, you know, my motives and everything I do, he's the one that's going to give me my reward. And that's what we need to look at, brothers. Because if you get overlooked, or, as a matter of fact, most of us are just your regular, ordinary believers. We have our jobs, we have our families, we do have our responsibilities, we do what we have to do, right? No one's famous here, right? Now, I have to admit, when Abe was going to go with me to Mexico, I kind of puffed it up a little bit. And I made it sound like he was this famous dude all over Columbus. I never told him that. they were like, oh man, this eminent doctor's coming there. He's famous throughout all Columbus. And they were all like, whoa.
I am.
So what matters, and this is what I want, because, you know, often we get frustrated. Lord, I feel like I serve you and I serve you, and nobody knows my name. And I feel like I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a Bible teacher, whatever you are. Or I just come and I help and I do. And at the end of the day, nobody even knows who I am. And what I want to show you is, just by looking at that text alone, the Holy Spirit didn't care if you knew his name or not. What matters is that these were men of God. And they were faithful. And they represented Jesus Christ. And he said, these men are a glory to Christ. And that is what matters. And the more we have this proper attitude in our lives, the more the Holy Spirit is going to use us for his glory. Right? And at the end of the day, you're going to get the proper recognition from the Lord himself. Right? So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a bunch of men in the Bible that I call the unknown servants of God. In fact, most of you don't even know who these guys are. Right? And so we're going to just take a quick look at each one. And I want you to go home and say, Lord, you know who I am. Every work I'm doing matters. You know my heart, and I'm going to continue to serve you. Right? Whether it be Sunday school, or helping clean, or organization, or sending out emails, or whatever your part may be, getting the kitchen part, which I think is very important, right? We appreciate it, right? When we go down there and there's that delicious potluck. Well, I tell my wife, that's my favorite Sunday when I come to the potluck. It's a blessing, and we're very grateful for it. Okay, so how many of y'all have heard of Obadiah? Who knows who Obadiah is? A few of you? You've been reading the Kings, haven't you, in your thing? Right? So who was Obadiah? Who was Obadiah? Well, he was a very, very important man. And I want you to go to 1 Kings 18. We're going to look at Obadiah. Now, here's the funny thing. The Bible mentions Obadiah by name, and it doesn't mention the guys in Corinthians, and yet you don't know who Obadiah is. So sometimes it doesn't matter if your name is there or not. Right? But notice what an important work he did. 1 Kings 18, 3 and 4. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So Ahab was a very wicked king, and he had killed many prophets of the Lord. But this Christian man was overseeing the work of Ahab. Verse 4, for it came about when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave, and provided them with bread and water. Wow! So here's a man of God, under the threat of his life, right? He was risking his life, but he took 100 of them, hid them in a cave, and he would somehow find food and take it to them consistently, and he kept them alive. Kind of remind me of the Second World War when so many people were helping Jews and others and risking their lives to help them live. Now, you think that was important what this man did? 100 men, and probably their spouses, owe their lives to him. And there he is faithfully serving. And the thing is that he did it for the Lord because he loved God, right? He feared the Lord. And yet none of us even know about him. All right, now, who was Onesiphorus? Who was Onesiphorus? Anybody know?
Runaway slave.
Not the runaway slave.
He was the owner of
Philemon.
Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1 was a man who went to look for Paul when he was in prison, right? And he provided for him. If somebody can read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Somebody have it? You can read it. 2 Timothy 1.
Lord, give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well.
Okay, so this man, another man that he was just serving the Lord, and he saw God's servant in prison. So he said, you know what? I'm going to go visit him in prison, and I'm going to provide for him, provide for his needs, encourage him, pray with him, take him food. And then even when they were in Ephesus, he was there, and he was a servant of God. That's it. That's what we know about him. Maybe you can look up a little bit more about him. Now, who was Antipas? Anybody know who Antipas was? All right, just listen. I got it right. Revelation 2:13. Called by Jesus, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you. That's all we know about him. He was a witness for the Lord Jesus. He was faithful to him, and he was killed among them. So did the Lord acknowledge him? Yes, he did. And he did his work for the Lord. Okay, who was Shobi, Machir, and Barzillai? Who are these guys? Who is Barzillai? Anybody?
Yeah, he brought actually a lot of food for David when he was running away from.
Correct. Barzillai and these other guys, what happened was David, remember when his son Absalom wanted to kill him? And so they had to flee the city. And they were out in the wilderness. And guess what? You're thirsty and you're hungry. So this Barzillai guy with Machir and Shobi, they went and they brought a ton of food, and they provided food and water and sustenance for all of the soldiers. And what a great thing, a very generous man, a man of means, but he knew that there was a need. He provided that need, and he blessed those people. What a man of God. Okay, who was Obed? Who was Obed?
He's the one that took the ark.
2 Chronicles 28. There's several Obeds in the Bible. So I figured if we don't read it, we're going to be confused. Yeah, so Obed, 2 Chronicles 28, 9 through 15. If somebody could read that. I'm trying to conserve my voice. 2 Chronicles 28, 9 through 15.
But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Obed. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and he hath slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now he purposed to keep unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are they not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshillemoth, and Jehizkiah the son of Shallum, and Amasa the son of Adlai, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives and with the spoil, clothed all them that were naked among them, and arrayed them and shod them and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them and carried all the feeble of them upon asses and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria.
Thank you. So it wasn't just Obed. You notice that it was other men. So what did they do? The king of the north attacked the king of the south. And he took a bunch of people captive. And of course, there were some that were naked, and they were hungry, and there were sick and wounded people. This man led a protest. And when they were coming with all of those people, he stood up and said, hey, stop. You're doing wrong. you need to let those prisoners go, and we need to return them back. They're your brothers. So it was a brave thing that he did, because they could have killed him. So what he did with the group of men that were mentioned was actually clothed them, provided medicine, provided food, got them healthy, and had to walk them back to Jericho and return them. What a blessing and what a brave thing these men did. But what are we trying to get to? That in different ways, different men, different people serve God. Right? Some by providing food, some by being brave enough to preach and say that's wrong, and some by visiting the prisoners. In so many ways, so many people serve the Lord, and you, whatever you're doing for God, God is watching, and it matters to Him. And He remembers. Okay, who is Micaiah? 2 Chronicles 18, 12 to 27. I'm just going to tell you who it is. He spoke the truth, even though other prophets were lying in unison. You remember that Jehoshaphat was with Ahab? Or was it Ahab or Ahaz? Ahab. Yeah, right? And the other prophets were all lying, saying, yeah, go to war. God is with you. You're going to do great. And this one man said, that's not true. If you go, you're going to be defeated and you're going to die. Now, you remember that one of the false prophets went up and slapped him, and then they put him in prison for speaking the truth. Right? And then what happened? Everything he said happened, right? They were defeated in war, and King Ahab was killed as a result. But what a brave prophet, willing to stand up. And he knew that they were going to be upset and angry because he said the truth. And yet he had the valor to speak truth and tell them that they were against the will of God. So what a man of valor. Who was Ebed-Melech? Anybody who knows who Ebed-Melech was? No? Wow. Jeremiah 38, 6 through 8. Jeremiah had been thrown into a cistern and he sunk into the mud. And Ebed-Melech, who was a man from Ethiopia, saw that and he goes, this guy's going to die. This prophet, Jeremiah, is going to die down there. In the mud, and he was. They were not giving him any food, so he goes to the king and he says, "King, you gotta let him out." And the king gave him permission, so he goes and gets a rope. Not only does he get rope, but he gets old rags, so that he could put the rags under his arms, so then they could bring him up and it wouldn't rip into his arms, right? So Ebed-Melech did such a great thing that God says, "I'm gonna remember you for what you did. That was a great thing you did." And so you might want to read that on your own in Jeremiah 38, 6 through 10. So you think, well, what's the big deal? He saved the prophet from dying and got him out. And God acknowledged that and remembered him. All right? So who was Zechariah? There are several Zechariahs in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 24, 20 through 22. He called out Joash and his minions because they had left the Lord. Zechariah's father, Jehoiada, was a priest who protected him from Queen Athaliah. Do you remember that? And so he risked himself, him and some other people, to protect him. After he protected him, he brought him up as king. And he counseled them and led them. But as soon as he died, he turned away from the Lord. Zechariah was his son. Zechariah came to the king and said, why have you turned away from the Lord? You're wrong. And the king then killed him for that. So he was murdered. And so again, this was a Christian man of God that stood up and spoke truth at the risk of his own life. And God remembered him for that. And who was Azariah? He prophesied to to Asa, king of Judah, 2 Chronicles 15. Who was Hanani? he prophesied, he reproved King Asa for not trusting the Lord. And because he reproved him, Asa, King Asa, put him in jail.
But again, a man of God that went and spoke up for truth and spoke led by the Holy Spirit. All right, so who is Barnabas? That's New Testament. Maybe you know who Barnabas is, right?
Son of encouragement.
When the Apostle Paul was converted and nobody wanted to receive him, they were scared of him. And they had a reason to be scared, right? They were saying, maybe he's faking his conversion so he can murder us. And Barnabas went and introduced him and said, look, this guy really did get saved. And then later, when he was back in Tarsus, he went to get him and he brought him to Antiochus, where he started to teach, and he started basically started his ministry. So, another man, very generous man, who probably didn't preach a lot, but God used him in so many ways. Then we have Luke. Luke was the missionary doctor. He would go along with Paul everywhere he went. And he had a lot of work to do, didn't he? Constantly having to fix wounds and bruises and rocks and that hit him. And constantly having to use his medical experience to heal his wounds. Missionary doctors are so important. Then we have Epaphras. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Then I want you to look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings always, laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So there's three things that we note about this man of God. Number one, Paul says, as I observe his life, here's what I can tell you about him. He's a bond slave of Jesus Christ. That man serves the Lord. He's a man of God. What a testimony that Epaphras had, that even the Apostle Paul had to acknowledge. That's a bond slave of Jesus. Secondly, you notice that he was a prayer warrior. He's praying for you. He's constantly praying for you and crying out to God on your behalf. Wow. What would we do without prayer warriors? And for those of you who are consistently praying, thank you. Praise God. I need your prayers. And I know that we all appreciate it when someone says, I'm praying for you. And there's people who are prayer warriors, constantly praying for the church and for the body. And praise God for those people who serve that way. Thirdly, you notice that he had deep concern for you. He really cared for you. Now, there's a difference of people patting you on the back. Hey, good to see you. But then there's others that you say, man, they really care for me. I know they do. I see it in their action. I see it because they call me when I'm sick. I see it because they visit when I'm discouraged. I see that they really care for me and love me. What a testimony. So what was I trying to accomplish with all of this? That every one of us matters. Every one of us serves the Lord in different ways. Some are preachers. Some just take food. Some are prayer warriors. Some are doctors. Some are encouragers. But every one of us, God uses for his glory. And I want you to remember that. We're not talking about the world economy. We're talking about God's economy. And in God's eyes, every one of us are his children, gifted by God and used by him for his glory. And I don't want you to go home saying, I'm of no value, I have no significance, because every one of us contributes to the work of God. Amen?
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.